There was a Christian and an atheist who were debating one time. And the atheist put forth his eloquent arguments to why there was no God. And he ended with a flourish by writing on the blackboard in bold letters for everyone to see, God is nowhere. With that flourish, he sat down. The Christian who was to speak got up, was a humble, quiet, unassuming man. And all he did was walk over to the blackboard, erase the W, move it over here, so it said, God is now here. God is now here. Realizing and acknowledging the ever presence of God. We must develop an awareness that God is now here. No matter what, no matter when, no matter where, God is now here. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the 139th Psalm. One of the Psalms that David wrote. I'd like to read the first 12 verses of Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou dost beset me behind and before, and layest Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with Thee. David said, no matter where I go, no matter what the situation, no matter when it is, God is now here. If I ascend up to the highest heavens, God, You're there. If I go down into the depths of Sheol or the grave, God, You're there. If I flee to the uttermost parts of the earth, God, Thou art there. If I were in the deepest and darkness of darkness, it's like day to You, God. God is now here. God is now here. I want you to think and ponder not just that phrase, but the reality of the truth that it teaches. God is ever here. No matter where you are, no matter where you may go, no matter what your situation, God is always in the now, the present, and God is always here. As we assemble in this building this night, God is now here. As we leave this building and go to our individual homes, each of us with confidence can say, God is now here. As we leave in the mornings and go to our various places of work or school or activities, no matter where we go, we know God is also there. God is now here. What are the implications? I'd like to suggest three for you. One, knowing that God is now here, I think offers us a comfort and an assurance. I love some of the Old Testament stories and the characters of the Scriptures. They're revealed in these stories. And Elijah is a great favorite of mine. And Elijah, after he had his greatest triumph, when he took on the prophets of Baal, and they were all destroyed, and the almighty power of God was revealed in such a wonderful, miraculous way, after the height of his success, the pinnacle of his glory, poor Elijah went into the depths of despair. Crawled off into a cave, and there he sat. Saying, I'm the only one, I'm all alone. Feeling sorry for himself. There he saw a great wind. And he experienced an earthquake. And he observed fire, but nothing. And then he heard the still, small voice of God that gave him this assurance, saying, I'm still here, and I will still be with you. And it turned Elijah around. He received the comfort and the strength he needed, knowing God is now here. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, God promises, I will never fail you nor forsake you. Hence, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That comfort and assurance that comes from knowing God is now here. Psalm 23 speaks about even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. God is now here. We have comfort from fear, the great enemy that confronts all of us at times, because we know that God is with us. God is now here. You remember back when you were a child and maybe you were left home alone for some reason, and you were frightened because you're all alone. I remember vividly one time when I was not too old, but just old enough to be left by myself. And my parents went off to Minneapolis, and they were going to come back later that evening. And I stayed home by myself, and I watched a scary movie on television, The Fall of the House of Usher, if any of you have seen that. And that movie went over, I was terrified. You know, every creak in the house scared me. And then Dad got home, and suddenly I wasn't afraid anymore. Having Dad there when I was a boy made all the difference in the world. As Christians, we have our Heavenly Father with us. God is now here. It helps us combat the fear, and it gives us a calm assurance. Looking at the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, picking out a couple of these precious verses. Verse 31, what should we say then to this? If God be for us, who's against us? If God is now here, we have assurance. We don't have to fear what might be against us. Dropping down to verse 35, Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Goes on to answer the question, verse 37, nay. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that happens to you can alter the fact that God is now here, that He loves you. And absolutely nothing can separate you from that love. That's why I say ponder the reality of that truth. God is now here, and you find yourself having a comfort and an assurance, realizing that no matter what you face, God is now here. A second implication of that truth, as I think about it, is that realizing that God is now here becomes a call for holiness on my part. I think the story of Moses on the desert watching the sheep and was about to receive the call of God. And he saw a bush burning, but it didn't ever consume. And he went over and investigated, and he felt the presence of God. And what did Moses do? He took off his shoes because he felt he was on holy ground. As we realize that we always stand on holy ground because God is always now here. We realize how important it is for us to remove some of the petty things that beset us. We realize how we want to cast off the sins and the things that trip us up because God is now here. We don't want to stand in the presence of God with filth on our bodies because God is now here. I seek to be holy. Or the story of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. When he saw a vision of God high and mighty and lifted up. And Isaiah was overwhelmed by his sinfulness and his unworthiness. And then in the vision, the coal of fire touched the lips of the prophet and made him pure. Isaiah sensed the need for holiness in the presence of God. But if God is now here, we are in the presence of God. And we need to have the realization that we also need holiness. God's a holy God, and He expects a holy people. If God would somehow physically manifest His presence in the form of a body, and come to your house this next week and say, I'm going to spend a week at your house, how would your life be different? Are there certain places where you'll go next week that you wouldn't take God along if He were there? Are there certain stories you would tell that you would not tell if God were there? Are there certain programs on television that you would not watch because God was there in your home? Let me tell you, folks, God is there. God is now here. Whether He has manifested Himself in a body that you can feel and touch or not, God is now here. In those places where you would not go, you should not go. And those stories that you would not tell then, you should not tell now. And those television programs that you would not watch if God were in your living room, you should not watch because God is in your living room. God is now here. Realizing and practicing the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Live your life realizing God is now here. Live a life of holiness. And a third implication of that truth is that knowing that God is now here gives us great boldness. Great boldness to attempt things that we would not attempt alone. To do things that we would be afraid and inadequate to do by ourselves. I think of Moses. The boldness that he was given to confront Pharaoh, the king of the mighty nation of Egypt, because he knew that God is now here. Love the story about the little boy who came home from Sunday school and the mama asked him, "What did you study in Sunday school today?" The little boy said, "Well, we studied how Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea." And the mother says, "Oh, well, how'd they do that?" The boy looked at her and said, "Well," said, "Moses got these pontoon boats and these transport carriers and he called in the jets for cover and they swept across the Red Sea." The mother said, "No, honey, is that really what your Sunday school teacher said?" He says, "Nah, but if I told you were the way she told it, you'd never believe it." Well, it would be impossible except for the fact that God is now here. And so Moses, because he had that assurance, had great boldness. In fact, Moses told the children of Israel at that time when they were perched at the shore of the Red Sea and afraid because the Egyptians were coming, he said, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which will work for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to stand still." Be bold because God is now here. Moses had boldness because he knew that God was with him. I also love the story of David. Turn over your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. Picture the situation, if you would. We had the armies of the Philistines on one mountainside, the armies of Israel on the other side, and every day the giant Goliath would come out and make fun of the armies of Israel and the God they worshipped. And they were all quaking in fear because of this mighty giant, Goliath, the Philistine. Look at 1 Samuel 17. Notice verse 37. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." All these people in the army were afraid, and David says, "I'll go fight him." They said, "David, you're crazy. You're only a shepherd boy." But David said, "God is now here. The God who has delivered me in the past will deliver me again." Look on down to verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and will give the dead bodies to the hosts of the Philistines, this day to the birds of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hand.'" And you know how the story went. David went out with his sling, and he slew Goliath. And the armies of Israel knew a great victory over the Philistines. David had the boldness to confront the giant because he knew God is now here. But haven't we already decided God is now here today too? God is now here. What seas do you have to cross? What giants do you have to confront? Realize God is now here and He'll be with you. He'll give you the boldness to face the enemies so that you can have the victory. If God be for us, Paul wrote, who can possibly be against us? You know, it's sort of like the little boys were picked on by the bully that always ran the neighborhood, until suddenly the big brother came home. And that day they went out and faced the bully with the big brother by their side. And the bully ran away because the big brother was there. We got something much better than a big brother. We have the God of all creation, and God is now here. We can cross the Red Seas. We can face the giants of our life with boldness because God is now here. So I think it's up to us to learn, to develop an awareness of God's presence. We need to learn to remind ourselves as we go through our daily lives that God is now here. I'm going to suggest a couple of very practical things. As you leave tonight, every one of you is going to get a little piece of paper. And it says on the top, God is now here. Three verses of Scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like you to take this piece of paper and stick it somewhere where you see it every morning. I've had one of these taped up in my mirror at home for months. I get up and shave my ugly face. The first thing I see is, God is now here. And I face the day with that assurance. The first thing in the morning as you get up, remind yourselves God is now here. Realize that there's nothing that you'll face this day that you and God cannot handle. If God is for you, who can be against you? Remind yourself that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And at the start of each day, remind yourself, this is a precious gift that God has given you. This is the day that the Lord has made. So rejoice and be glad in it. Start each day, first thing in the morning, reminding yourself of the presence of God. Reminding yourself that God is now here. A second thing that I would ask you to do is throughout the day, use little clues to remind yourself to think about the presence of God. One of the things that we've been doing in our family for several months now is I have a little hourly chime on my watch. And probably a lot of you have those. And whenever that chime goes out, that reminds me God is now here. And we could be sitting around the table playing a game or eating supper, and the chime goes off and everybody says, God is now here. And that's good because it serves as a practical reminder. Every time you look at the clock and you see that hand straight up that says you're at the hour, or if you have a chime on your watch, every time you have that chime, say to yourself, God is now here. God is now here because He is. Because He is. Finally, as you lay down for the night, as you seek to rest, remind yourself that you're not alone, that you're not forgotten and forsaken. Remind yourself that God is now here. Let Him take care of things. End each day with that assurance, that comfort, that realization of that thought. God is now here. One last thought, and that is that sometimes God lets His presence be felt through us. The little boy was tucked in for the night. And pretty soon he called to the mother, and she came in and says, what's wrong? And he says, well, I'm scared, Mommy. I'm afraid to be alone in the dark. I want somebody to stay with me. And the mommy says, don't be afraid. God is with you. The little boy says, yeah, but I want somebody with skin on his face. You know, what's he saying? He's saying, I need to see God in a tangible form. There's sometimes we got to have tangible presence. And the remarkable thing is, we can sometimes feel the presence of God through one another. Sometimes I need to feel the presence of the eternal, immortal God through the presence of some weak, mortal person. Elijah, after hearing the still, small voice of God, said, Elijah, you're not alone. Not only am I now here, but there's 7,000 people who haven't yet bowed to Baal. Go look them up. Fellowship with them. We need to feel the presence of God through other Christians. Philippians 2:13 is a remarkable verse as you begin to ponder it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's a powerful thought. God working in me to bless you. And God working in you to bless me. God in us. And me sensing and experiencing and feeling that God is now here because I'm with you. And you experiencing God's presence through me. It's a challenging thought, isn't it? To ask, can people sense and feel the presence of God in and through me? And in and through us? God is now here. Remind yourself of that the first thing when you get up in the morning. Remind yourself of that often as you pass through the day. Remind yourself of it the last thing before you go to sleep at night. Remembering and realizing that God is now here can give you comfort and assurance you're not alone. Recognizing and realizing that God is now here motivates us to holiness because we live ever in the presence of God. And recognizing and realizing that God is now here gives us a boldness that goes far beyond our own boldness. God is now here. My associate pastor shared with me a saying that's meant a lot to him. Paraphrase it roughly, it goes something like this. How would you feel if your son died saving your neighbor in a fire, and your neighbor skipped the funeral to watch television? That's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? What if your son died saving your neighbor in a fire, and that neighbor skipped his funeral to go watch television? Well, the spiritual application is pretty obvious, isn't it? God's son died to save you. How do you suppose God feels if you ignore that fact? What if tonight, as we close this service and give the invitation, God stood up front? And again, somehow God manifested himself in a way that you could see him. Would there be a person here who is outside of Jesus Christ that would not come forward? That would not realize God gave that which was most precious to him, his only son, on Calvary? You know, we sing songs like "The Old Rugged Cross," and they touch me. Because I realize what a price God paid for me and how I don't deserve it. Well, you won't see God in a body standing before you offering the invitation. But God is here. God is here. And if you ignore what his son did for you, and if you ignore what he did for you through his son, how do you suppose it makes God feel? God loves you. If you ever doubt the love of God, just think of Calvary, because that's how much he loved you. He let his son die for you. If you've never accepted his son as your Savior, I encourage you to make that kind of a decision this night. Because indeed, God is now here.